James, I've known you for quite a while.
Yes, Matt.
And for those of you who don't know, I've worked for 23 years at a school called Tolbar Academy. It's just up the A16 in Grimsby. And that was the first time that I met this chap to my right. But for the rest of the story to be unfolded, I'm going to prompt James with a few questions. I need a tablet because my memory's rubbish. But because it's actually happened to James, he's going to be able to... He's got a notepad. So, James, first of all, give me, and everybody else here, if that's okay, a little bit about your career background.
Okay. So, basically, I'm a qualified teacher. Most of you know that already. So, I taught for 13 years. And my first teaching placement, placement after I qualified was at Tolbar, and Math was actually delivering the interactive whiteboard training in my induction week.
I've forgotten
which
that.
Which was the first time that I came across Math, and then I saw him at church and said, hey, I know you from work. So teaching for 13 years after uni, just really felt God tell me it was the right time to train to be a teacher. It was never my plan. You know, like if you ask Diane, she'll say, oh, yeah, you know, from a little child, I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. Me, no, it just kind of came up and I went for it and did the training. So the short answer is teaching for 13 years. I did 2 years at Tolbar with Math. I then worked at Monk's Dyke where I was the head of ICT for 5 years. And then when I left there, I went to a school in Lincoln called William Farr. Where I taught for 6 years, teaching maths and IT, by the way.
So one might say that teaching maths and IT, actually, this might answer this next question. However, let me go through it anyway with you. So my next question is
maths and IT?
No. The question is, because sometimes, I know this isn't always the case, but sometimes when people train, they go to the trouble of going to university, maybe with a student loan, and there's a lot of time sacrifice and financial sacrifice. If you train for a job, usually that's the job that you want to carry out for the rest of your life. So if you've done teaching for so long and put all that time and energy in, what was it that made you feel like you wanted to come out of teaching?
I think the thing is that I never went into teaching thinking this is going to be the career for the rest of my life. I think well before I trained to be a teacher, I always knew that God was calling me to do other things. But at the time when the opportunity to train came up, it was definitely the right thing to do. So I think in the back of my mind, right from training to be a teacher, I always knew that was never the long-term plan. In fact, I actually, when the job came up and the teacher training came up and I prayed about it, I actually remember just sitting down and praying to God, saying, God, I'll do this for 10 years. And part of that was because of what the government were offering at the time. Which was a very nice, if you teach for 10 years, we'll pay your student loan off.
That is awesome.
So I remember just sitting going, God, awesome. I'll do that 10 years. And then after 10 years, God, give me something else to do. So 10 years came and went, and then 3 more years came and went, and then I went.
Can I just say, they never offered to pay mine off for me. I'm not bitter or anything when I did it for you, but I didn't get that offer. One thing that I do know, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to in families, especially if they're the person who brings in most of the finance through the job, is, yes, we like to think that we're all going to love our job and do it for the sole purpose of joy and a calling, but there is a certain amount of onus on us, and if you're the breadwinner, for want of a better phrase, that to come out of that kind of security, and it's not just you that it affects, is it? It's your family or your kids or your future family or whatever. How did that directly or even indirectly affect you making that decision to come out of teaching?
I think, first of all, it's important to understand that one decision wasn't the one decision that took me into, oh man, look at the finances. There was like this kind of process that God took both myself and Diane through, because if talking from a financial point of view, at the peak of our careers, we were both heads of department, which meant we were both bringing in a really, really very comfortable income. And then I stepped down from being a head of department and I left Monk's Dyke to become a main scale teacher. So I kind of took that. So immediately we had a hit in salary, which was quite substantial. Then Diane left teaching. So then it dropped again. And then I knew it was right for me to leave teaching. So it was like, it was almost like a tiered, God was going, you're up here and we've got to get you to kind of this level. And he kind of did it in stages, I think. I think if we'd have both gone from both being on a very good salary to nothing, I think I'd have collapsed. So it was kind of this process of God taking us out of our careers a step at a time. The outcome of that is it's really scary.
I can believe it.
The confidence of knowing that you've got your pension and knowing that you've got your monthly income, and when you're ill it's okay because you still get paid and all that sort of stuff, when that's gone, it's quite a scary thing to go through.
For what it's worth, as you said, news that has been a recent thing in the news this week about the government saying they were going to raise some tax on some self-employed workers, and those people cooking up an uproar saying, but we don't get the same security as a lot of people who work in the public sector do about sick pay and about what do you do if you're poorly and if you have kids and that kind of thing. So you've taken yourself out of that security net almost, haven't you, to say you don't have that luxury like a lot of, say, me as a teacher has. You're poorly and you can't work, you don't get paid.
Yeah, and I experienced that this week when many of you knew that I was really ill last week when I came and played drums and went home, went straight back to bed, couldn't make the Monday night thing. So I just had 2 days of just sitting on the sofa doing nothing. And then you get back into the office, all the way upstairs, and all of a sudden I'm days behind with projects and I've got clients phoning me about them. So, yeah.
It's all the way upstairs and yet you're still late to work, aren't you, sometimes? I hear. Okay. So
fashionably late.
Yes, absolutely. So can you just tell us all, maybe if you've got some that you've had a chance maybe to think through, or that you think are appropriate, can you just tell us a few things that God has done? I'm not even going to be as specific as to say for you, for your family, for just in general. Are there any specific examples or testimonies that you think that are appropriate to share about what God's done for you, given that situation that you're in?
Yeah, definitely. How long we got?
30 seconds. No, okay. Just joking. So, just a bit longer.
So, quite a few things, really. I mean, first of all, I think in terms of our family life, going from the pressures of two very high-pressure careers, it has transformed our family life. So as much as there are days when I think, I wish I was getting paid today, I'd pick that any day over, am I going to see my wife today? Am I going to miss Grace's bedtime again? Or am I going to miss sports day? Or am I going to miss Christmas assembly or whatever it is? All of that is way better than what I had before. So that, in terms of family, I guess, is the biggest one. Grace noticeably seeing more of me. Is fantastic. Yeah. In terms of other things, there are definitely a lot of new pressures, which are the sort of the unknown. But then, out of the unknown comes these amazing testimonies of times when God kind of steps in and provides when.
Were you expecting? Honest question to you: when you did this, were you expecting God to step in, or were you just blindly leading in faith, or were you just desperately hoping? I mean, how were you feeling?
I think if I'm honest, and I can say this with my mum and dad here, growing up,
I think the situation. Hey, Dad's going to come out and give him a cuddle, aren't you, Dad? Because Dads are good at that.
I wasn't expecting them to be here because it was meant to be last week. I guess.
Honestly, can you, in future, please, can you families coordinate your diaries? Never mind Joe forgetting John Pett was coming. Look what you're doing to the guy.
To answer the question, I guess I grew up with a very similar situation. And I know the testimonies of God providing. So, like, I like to tell the stories of the car after car.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to all these stories, mate. They're all
so.
See, what you don't understand is I know some of these and I know how good they are. So, it's worth the wait, trust me.
Okay, so a few things. me and Diane prayed at the beginning of the summer that we knew that our garden was a complete mess. And this, you know, this isn't
it was
bread on the
a
table.
Complete mess.
And
terrible, and shocking.
We knew we'd got a lot to do, and we just sat down and we prayed, and we just said, forget about what's in the middle. Let's just pray that basically all the way around is okay. And we knew that we had no money with which to do any of it. And what do? You just trust God. And then we have a weird garden where we have loads of different people backing onto our garden. So our neighbour to this side of the house, he came round and said, I want to put a new fence up, but I'm going to pay for it. So he put this new fence up down this side. And then the guy in the house this side of us, his fence was really falling apart. And basically, to cut a long story short, he was in a position to do his fence, and he said, I'm going to pay for it. You don't have to pay for anything. I'm going to put this fence in. And then we had another house down the end of the garden, and that fence was falling apart, and the guy's his elderly mother was living there, and he said, I'm going to put a new fence up for her. So our simple prayer of God, we haven't got any money, but we need the garden sorting out this summer.
Do you know, we've got three fences. We've had to pay for every single one. Do you have like a puppy dog eyes face you put on or something?
I won't do it now.
Okay, later.
So like that's just a little story of like God just came through and did all this. You know, it came to Christmas and me and Diane sat down and we bought bits of presents and we knew we didn't have enough to buy all of them. So what we did is we made a list of everyone we still need to buy a present for and how much money we'd got, and we worked out how much we needed, and we needed dead on £200. And we knew that we didn't have it, but we said, we've got to do it. And it was getting really late, close to Christmas, like a week or so before Christmas. And we said, let's write in the diary, today we're going Christmas shopping. Mm. And it got to like the Friday, and I'm thinking, no more work's coming. I've got no other jobs to do. What am I going to do? And it got to the Sunday night, and two different people came to us and gave us gifts of £100 the night before.
Right.
Which meant we could go out, and actually we were able to buy all the Christmas shopping, and I don't know how, but we had money left over at the end.
Yeah.
So,
I'm looking at people's faces. When he said two lots of £100, that adds up to £200. Some of you were getting your calculators out on your mobiles. You were doing that sum. I just want to reassure you that is exactly what he needed. Sorry, mate.
And I mean, even back before I quit my job for good, we've probably for the last 5 years, we've been on holiday every year, and every year someone's paid for our holiday. Wow. And I think on top of that, I mentioned this before one Sunday morning about driving to my AOG interview and not having enough money in the tank and just praying, God, get us home, and the petrol light's on red. And I went and I had something like £8.02 in the bank, and I put all of it in and it was on red. And I just had to phone Diane and say, just pray we get home.
Yeah. I mean, what strikes me...
We did get home, by the way.
You did get home. What strikes me is that how close to the wire some of those situations, like time-wise, finance, it's like, it's not like, God, I'm going to give you 3 months' notice to fill up my tank of petrol. It's like, I'm not getting home, or I'm not getting to the venue unless, God, you come through. And that to me is, and I guess the guys would agree, is a huge... It's a huge step of faith. There's no other word for it. It's just faith, isn't it? Supernaturally believing that something could come through that in the natural can't. And so for somebody who's definitely been there, for somebody who can testify to, I put my faith in God, how do you put that into words to say to somebody else, if you know somebody else is struggling with that idea of stepping out in faith, what advice can you give them, bearing in mind what you've been through?
I think, well, I've got a few things for you. First of all, I think knowing it's what God wants you to do is the important bit. And we spent a lot of months praying before I just quit my job. It wasn't a spontaneous thing. And, I won't go into all the detail of the prayers we prayed and how God actually answered that prayer and said, yes, it was the right thing to do. But, you know, if you want to ask me about that another time, I'm more than happy to explain it. I think trust God. You got to start small and trust him for the little things, and gradually he tests your faith and you find it easier to trust for bigger and bigger things. And as it happens, since I left work, we've paid the mortgage every month and we're we've survived and we've eaten, and there's months where I've not paid myself what I wanted to pay myself, but God keeps us going. I think the second one is a more difficult one, but I'll put it as bluntly as I can: tithe. Tithe. No, it doesn't matter whether you can afford it or not. Tithe. In January, I paid myself £200 for the month. Our mortgage is £500 and something. And before I paid anything, I tithed £20. And the mortgage is paid. And we've eaten. So my thing, and that's, I think, that is something that you just get into the habit of doing. You tithe, just tithe. And if you say, you know, I've had conversations with people who say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I've not got a job or whatever. Whatever money comes in, tithe it, and God will do the rest.
Can I just ask you something specific on that? The first thing that springs to mind, and you may not have thought through this answer, so I apologise, I'm putting you on the spot. The first thing that springs to mind for me, if I see a bill and what I've got doesn't even meet the bill, and then to give 10% to God, that the first emotion, I got to admit, sometimes isn't, oh, joy, I would love to do that. It's fear. It's fear.
It is.
How do you combat that feeling of fear the sums don't add up?
I don't think it's very easy to. And I'm not saying that I joyfully give every month. Some months I give quite reluctantly, but I still do it. And
it's a discipline.
Yeah, it is a discipline. And I've been doing it since I was taught to tithe as a child. So, you know, whether it's my pay, whether it's the money I brought in through the business, whether it's someone turns up on the doorstep and says, here's £200, we still tithed on the Christmas, the money that people came and said, here's some money for Christmas presents. We still tithe on that. Yeah. So anything that comes in, I tithe. Yeah. And I've just always done it, and God has always provided. So I know we often say that's the one thing that God says, test me on this.
Yeah, yeah. And I think stepping out in faith after God's come through for you once or twice.
Yeah.
Does it get any easier after he's clearly come through for you a few times?
No.
No, still. No, yeah, it's still scary.
Still scary. Just one third thing that I'd say, and that's don't be surprised if you pray and God doesn't answer your prayer how you wanted him to answer your prayer. You know, we sat down at the beginning of the year and worked out how much money we need every month to pay all the bills. And, you know, our prayer was very much, God, we need X amount of money every month, provide X amount of money. Well, God didn't provide the amount of money that we prayed for, but a letter turned up on the doorstep saying, your mortgage is up for review. We can give it you for £100 a month cheaper. Mm. Or, by the way, you know, we want to offer you a new smart meter and we're going to reduce your bills. So those things were answers to prayer, but they weren't the answers to prayer that I asked for.
Amazing. That's great. So very frank, very honest, very, very moving from one guy to another. Very emotional, some of that stuff you said. However, I think I've asked you all the questions that I wanted to ask, with the exception of one. And the last question is, I guess, one of the reasons why we're saying it in front of these guys here as well. And that is, given your situation, given everything that you've said, given your hopes, wishes, dreams, desires for the future as well, what is it that the guys here in church can be praying for you and for your family and your situation about?
Okay, I've written down three things: something for the business, something for church, and something for family. I think for my business, I'm still struggling to generate enough income. What I've found is that I've got a lot of clients who pay not a lot of money. And what I really need to do, please pray that God provides me with some better paying clients. Because that's where I really need to see some breakthrough. Second thing is, although I don't have the pressures of working full time, it's still very hard juggling the business, my commitments to church and my training, and my family time, especially when the fear of, are we going to be able to pay the mortgage this month, sets in, because then that's where I go into, I'm just going to lock myself in the office and just get through as many jobs as I can. So pray that I just find that balance between those three.
Yeah.
And then last of all, I guess it kind of ties into the same thing, and that's pray as for our family, just that in the midst of all of this, that we can keep our family time precious, and not let the work stuff and the church stuff creep into that, especially with baby number two on its way.
Baby number two, indeed. And on that bombshell, as they say. Listen, mate, that was a request. You realise what that was a request for you guys to get involved in that prayer process with him, okay? We're just going to very quickly pray for this guy, but can I just point out, this doesn't get you off the hook for praying him for other times. So we are going to pray for him, but please, please, this guy, this man of faith, this guy who's training to be a minister, who's invested so much time, finances, energy of him, and that he could have spent on other things and his family, into the house of God here. This guy has a heart for God, wants to see God's kingdom come, wants to see this place of Louth saved for Jesus Christ. This guy who's given so much, we're asking to stand with him in prayer. When you come to God in your time of prayer, whenever that is during the course of the week, you pray, just remember him and the things that he's asked to pray for. So you just recap again. So the three things.
Book,
I know you've shut your book, mate, but
I should be able to remember them.
The
then.
First three things off the top of your head. So
better clients for my business.
Finding the
balance between work, church, and family time.
Yeah.
And yeah, just protecting our family time so that we don't lose that in the midst of everything else.
Can I just ask Joe to come up and pray? We're going to stand with you as a couple of elders of church. Paul, can I ask you to come up and stand as well? Parents, can you come up, please? Parents, can you come up and stand as well? That was a good shot. Okay. We're going to pray. Church, if you're okay with this, do you want to raise your hands towards this guy? If you're comfortable with that, if you're not, it's not a problem. If you feel comfortable with this, let's just show our support. Let's just show how we're all talking to God, speaking as one voice. So God, I thank you for the honour of having met this guy all those many years ago in my job. And I thank you, God, that that is not where our relationship ended. I thank you that things didn't come to a close very abruptly. I thank you that there was a future for us as a friendship, God. And I thank you that there is a future for this guy seeking out his ministry and the ways of his outworking of both his job, his family life as a dad for not only his immediate family, but an extended family as a church. And God, also for his future finances, which I'm just going to declare now, are going to be an abundance. Yeah. Because you are an abundant God. You don't just slightly bless us. If you're going to bless us, you're a God who really blesses us. And so, God, I'm just going to declare that over your life, that finances are going to be released, both through your clients and, God, through these other situations that he's already given testimony to, how bills get lowered as well as money coming in. God, he's going to be a strong man of God that sets an example to his children, to his wife, to his family, of how, yes, he does put you first, but he knows the value that you place on families. That we know, God, how important it is for you to see a man of God taking care of, loving and cherishing his wife and his kids. And so, God, will you just give them that precious time together, the ability and the opportunity, the peace of heart and state of mind to be able to share quality time together in the midst of pressures of work and other things that are going on, God, would you be the rock? Would you be the center? Would you be the important binding cord that intertwines between him and his family members and keeps them solid and keeps them strong with a faith surrounded by you? God, would you just help him as the ways that he seeks as an elder of this church and a leader at the front as a member of the church council, as he looks for innovative but passionate ways, God, just emphasizing the passion that he has for you to reach a lost world. And starting off with Louth, you know, local, but we're looking for a bigger, wider area to reach, God. Would you just be with him and keep him strong, keep his vision strong, and always give him that incentive and enthusiasm to carry out what he believes you have placed on his heart. And we ask these things as a church, collectively, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give this guy a round of applause. You see what it takes out of some people sometimes to stand at the front to say what they got to say. Hey, I don't need to say anymore.